Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A new system is being put in place to help kids who may be in trouble in school. But is it really so new and different? Let's go in depth with Brian McNeil, principal at the Knoxville Middle School, and Linda Abbott, assistant principal. So, Brian, we're hearing a lot from Des Moines that the state is moving into this new system called RTI. And you can explain what that stands for. That's focused on the retention of students and helping students. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
RTI is response to intervention, and it's to me, it's basically setting up a program or a system that tells you what you need to do with students next, how they score. You look at the scores and the students' data, and that determines where you're going to place them in classes, what help, what supplemental help they're going to need. It's more of a process. I can remember sitting in meetings years ago, you know, where you would all meet and all these teachers would meet, parents would meet, and you'd go, what are we going to do with this kid? You know, and with the RTI or IDM process, you're looking at information that you have, and you already have the system in place to place those students where you need them.
And IDM, what's that?
Instructional Decision Making.
Instructional decision making, is that something like response to intervention? Are they different? Are they the same? What's the relationship?
I think they're very similar. If you look nationally, I think probably the bigger name is RTI. Even in the state of Iowa, you'll see a split of different area AAs that have gone different ways and branched out. Area 11 just happened to be their decision was to go with IDM years ago and training on that.
And that's our area.
That's our area, yeah. And with new legislation in the state of Iowa, everyone's going to move to RTI. And I think that's really a push to make everything consistent, terminology consistent, so everyone's on the same page. And it just clears it up so we can look, you know, as a state and as a even nationally and talk about like terms. I just think it clarifies things.
Okay, so you were doing this before, this intervening with students before, Linda, right?
Absolutely. My understanding is North Star here in Knoxville was kind of a pilot program for Area 11 many years ago. That was prior to my coming to North Star, and the teachers there were very proud of the work that they had done in that area, and so it was my privilege to work with them to continue that effort. Sometime during that same time frame, they began that at the middle school as well, and Brian has the data to back up the fact that it is a very successful process, and provided that, you know, everyone is following that with fidelity, we definitely can move kids in the right directions.
Let me get this straight. You were already, they're acting like this is a whole new thing, new bells and whistles, when actually you've been doing something similar for some time now, and in fact it was pioneered at North Star.
Yeah, and they took the data that they developed through that process there and kind of redefined it maybe, or retooled it a little bit, and then more and formalized it more so, and then took it out to other schools in Area 11, and then other schools got into the IDM process and were learning about that. And then at the same time that all of that was occurring, RTI was being introduced around the country, as Brian's already mentioned, and in the state of Iowa, in our tradition, has always been with local control. So districts had the opportunity to kind of pick and choose a lot of different things that they did. And now with more cohesion done around the state, in with our new director and governor, we're seeing more directives from the Department of Education. And this is just one example of that, where instead of allowing districts in the state to either choose whether they want to do IDM or RTI, the state is now saying we're going to do RTI.
So is this a good thing, a bad thing? Doesn't matter. What's the significance?
I think overall it's a good thing. Anytime you can get consistent data, consistent terminology. I think that's really one of the best ways to stay valid when you're talking about things. You know, it's if someone planned or collected something different and then you try to get together and make sense of it, you know, that's not what either program's about. It's about putting a system together, taking the data you get, and applying it. So I think it's a good thing overall. I think probably the toughest part is just changing your the acronym, you know, a little bit, because you know, we used to have common planning times, and this year it's PLCs, and I'm still saying, you know, CPTs. So you know, I think that's going to take some practice, and I think that also there's a question out there about what is the difference, you know, and then staff knows that, and they're like, kind of what are we doing here, and so. I'm interested. We talk maybe a little bit about classes, and when we do take training, of how they are different, how they're similar, and that basic terminology. So I think overall that it'll, as a state, put us on the same page. You know, especially when we talk to another district or maybe get a kid from another district, we can talk, and we'll be talking in like terms.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Brian McNeil, principal at the Knoxville Middle School, and Linda Abbott, assistant principal. And so the teachers, what are they thinking about it? They're pulling their hair a little, or they're just shaking their head, or they're saying, let's go, I'm ready for it. What's the deal?
I think they roll with the flow pretty good. Like Linda was saying, there seems to be a lot more directives now from the state. And you know, teachers are pretty resilient in the fact of taking what they get and moving with it. You know, it's taking pieces and bits as you go. A lot of people say nuggets as you go and put it in your bag of tricks. But, you know, I think this will be a very easy transition for them, because I think we've worked ahead kind of the game a little bit, and it'll be some terminology differences rather than new things for them to figure out or do. And we have a system in place now. It'll just be reterming it, I believe.
Is this something that parents need to be concerned with, need to learn more about, how it's going to impact their students?
I don't think the parents will necessarily need to learn anything new, other than the fact that we are moving from what they have been most familiar with, which is instructional decision making, or IDM, to response to intervention, or RTI. In coming to this district, what I have found was that parents have been very well informed, I believe, because when I have had conversations with parents, they seem to know about the terminology associated with IDM and the process that their child is involved with in the IDM kind of protocol. So I don't think parents are going to have any new learning, really. It'll just be the terms that may change, again, kind of like with the teachers. I think Knoxville Schools has done a great job of building that base for parents to understand what's going on and how their students are being supported. And so this part for parents should be an easy transition as well.
And to go along with that is when we do place students, or a parent has a question about, hey, why is my kid in this class? Why is my student there? Why aren't they in this class? It's the same process. We're sitting down with the same data and showing them why your student is in this, you know, class or situation. And so that's what I'm saying is that I think when parents come in, we talk a lot about data. We'll continue to do that. We'll tell you, hey, this is the score. This is why this person's here. So it's a process. It may be reterming the process, but I think the process will stay very close to the same. And I think people are used to that, of knowing our processes now and how those fit together to make a student's day.
So what is the process? What process are we talking about? We're talking about kids that can be in a little jam or a big jam and trying to get them on the right track. That's ultimately what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first thing we do is compile test scores every year. You know, we talk about how test scores have become more prominent maybe and more used for more information. And that's what we tell kids. We've started just at the middle school even. We have class meetings now 4 times a year, once a quarter, just to talk about tests and how numbers can affect what classes they're in. Our registration letters, our beginning of the year letters, all talk about that. We place all those test scores, Iowa Assessment, MAP, our fluency scores that we do 3 times a year. We consider that all part of the IDM process. From there, we've created cut scores from 5th to 6th grade, 6th to 7th grade, 7th to 8th grade, 8th to 9th grade. And how you fall in there on those scores is how we place you in those classes. If you are below proficiency, I think it was clear back in 2006, I think, is what I tracked it back to, but is where we started skill building. And if you are non-proficient, the board has made that mandatory that you're in skill building class. And that is to help you. It's a non-graded class, but it's to help the students, giving them a comfortable place to work on reading, and it's working on their specific skill. That's the other thing about RTIR-IDM is that it's not just putting a student in another reading class to read. It's pinpointing. There's 4 different areas, okay, that we look at, and it's actually putting them into that specific area with strategies and curriculum put together to address that specific skill. Okay, and that's what we talk about that the procedures and this does for us is it really helps us track exactly what that student needs. And I go back to in past years and you know when I first started teaching, you know, many of the meetings you show up and you say, okay, what can we do for this kid? And it's people throwing out things, and that's not the way it is anymore. We have a specific process we follow, specific scores we look at, and those tell us right where these students will go.
But do you get to use any common sense with that, or just the numbers dictate it, or do you say, well, you know, I think here's another way we might want to do this?
It's pretty well directed by the numbers, mm-hmm. but that's really the best data that we have, because the other data, the gut feeling kind of things are pretty subjective. Mm-hmm. One teacher's opinion about how they're viewing a student and their progress might be different than another. So the one thing that we can agree on is whatever the number tells us. That doesn't mean that there's not some room for some subjectivity involved, but at the same time, we wouldn't want to rely heavily on that soft type of data.
And so, but this process, the way these numbers come about, what the numbers actually measure, it's been tested and yeah. performs well.
Yeah, it's all research-based. The strategies that are used in the classrooms, as well as the process itself, the IDM or RTI process, are all research-based processes.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Brian McNeil, principal at the Knoxville Middle School, and Linda Abbott, assistant principal. Okay, and so the teachers have their responsibility, the students have their responsibility. How do you get the student to do their part if maybe they're part of the problem, that they don't focus enough, numbers aren't going to tell you how to make that kid apply themselves, mm-hmm. right?
I think that what comes into that a little bit is the small groups, especially in the skill building, is we always try to keep lower than 8 students. I know we've had some cuts in the past. It's brought our groups up a little, but for the most part, they're in a small group. They know it's not graded. We've really worked hard on trying to find high interest, readability type things for the students to work on. When we say there's a curriculum there, we've put as much stuff into that square as possible to make that interesting for the kids. I've not met any student that's come and said, man, that class, that skill building really stinks, you know. But we want kids to get out. And so we do make that a challenge because, you know, their work is graphed every week. And we kind of make that a goal for them to get out. You know, so that's one way to motivate them.
But I think the connections that the teachers make is important. Mm-hmm. are important. They in the smaller groups, you have more opportunity to develop personal, you know, relationships with kids and find out what their interests are and choose topics or materials that fall within that interest level. And so just the structure of that smaller group size facilitates that. And kids feel more connected and more included and more a part of that. There's not that not as easy an opportunity for just sitting back and letting someone else do the work or provide the answers and responses to things.
Another thing is here at the middle school we do fluency and comprehension and written skills in every class now. That includes PE, art, everywhere. And that is not an option. That's what every teacher does now. It's part of their daily routine. And that's another way we catch everybody. And so it's not a choice, you know, and that's all kids. That's not just students that are maybe below that proficiency. That's all kids included in that. You know, some of the things we hear about that sometimes is, well, my student's a very good reader, doesn't need that practice. But, you know, we liken it to as sports, you know, okay, I'm a great football player, but I'm not going to quit practicing because I'm good. And so I think that's really helped us. And when you talk about motivating kids, it's just become accepted, and that's the way of life. That's the way we deal here, and that's the way we're going to do that. So, and that has helped our fluency scores tremendously. I pulled data for the staff, and up about 6-7 years ago, we were around the middle 50 percentile of kids that were fluent, and we are above 80 in every class for the past probably 4 years.
Then you face something that all teachers everywhere face, something that you can't control or have a hard time controlling, is the parents. What's the parents' responsibility here?
I think one of the first things that we would ask parents to do is when they're seeing problems or hearing concerns from their child to be sure and give us a call at the school. And so we can help kind of address some of those things, whether that's an academic issue or a behavioral issue or a concern that they might be having about something in a class or with another student. Just, you know, please keep us informed as we would want to do with them when we're seeing some concerns that we would have. And then, you know, secondly, communicate with the teachers about questions on assignments or homework that they're seeing or daily work, and make sure that, you know, they have the information they need to help support their child in completing the assignments. And then reading at home. The research is showing that the more reading that's done at home, the more successful they're going to be in all academic areas.
And I've also found that if parents will just call and ask us if there's a question about a class, if we can fully explain the process we go through, it's gone very smooth. You know, when we put students in groups and have those classes going, throughout even the quarter, we move kids around. I know at semester we'll be moving kids around because you may have a student you've placed in this class that may need to move up into this class. You may have one in this class, may move to down to that class. And it's just been, we've just approached it as, hey, we're going to make a phone call. We're going to sit down with the parent. We're going to talk about it. And it's always worked out. I think it's just that if they can know that we're going through a process and we're actually looking at more than one thing, and we've taken kind of that judgment out of it, you know, I think they appreciate that we've gone through that work to do that and really have some hard data to sit down and show them, hey, this is why, and this is what you can do to get better. You know, we have those conversations, and I think that's been very positive. The past 4 or 5 years has been good.
Thanks to Brian McNeil and Linda Abbott for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.